Jesus' name. I'm not stalling because I don't have anything to say. I'm simply waiting to make sure what I'm feeling to say is the Holy Ghost and not me. I believe that God has a specific plan and purpose for this gathering tonight. Do you trust Him with that? In Jesus' name. Brother Kendrick, can you take us to Hebrews chapter 3? The KJV is fine. And you can go to verse 12, start in verse 12. We're going to read a few verses here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, or by saying unbelief, in departing from the living God. This word unbelief is going to come back again a few times. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if ye will hear his voice, everybody say, hear his voice. Everybody say, unbelief. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. He's talking about the children of Israel here. When they heard the voice of God concerning the promised land and what God was wanting to give them, what God was wanting to take them into, when they heard the voice of God, they hardened their hearts. They were full of unbelief. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? They grieved the Holy Ghost. God was upset with a generation of people for 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? Everybody say, his rest. He swore that they would not enter into his rest. Not my rest, his rest. But to them that believe not. Everybody say, unbelief. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. What did they not believe? They didn't believe that God had a place of rest for them, Sister Pat. They trusted in their own selves that this was what we want and this is best for us. And, you know, if I was to put it into modern day terms, this is how I relax. This is my me time. This is how I recharge my batteries. Give me my novel. Give me my cocoa. Give me my coffee. Give me my latte, whatever it is, and put me out on the back deck with the birds chirping, and that's how I recharge my batteries. But God had a different dimension of rest for his people. Yet they were filled with unbelief. And could not believe that God could give them rest, or rather cause them to enter into his rest. Jump to chapter 4, verse 1 now. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us, being left us of entering into his rest. Everybody say, enter. Now, this is a different dimension of rest. I was poking some fun at some things of rest in the last couple minutes, and that's okay. I think you understand I'm being lighthearted here. I'm trying to soften your heart a little bit so that you receive what the Holy Ghost is saying. But I enjoy rest. Just ask my wife. Nobody enjoys a good nap in the afternoon like me. I enjoy rest. And every time I get up, my wife goes, how was your nap? It was terrible. I loved the falling asleep part. I hate the waking up and like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Because that was my rest. It wasn't God's rest. Now, there have been moments in time where I believe that God allowed me in moments of weakness to enter into, it's a dimension, a spiritual dimension where I enter into his rest, not mine, his. And he allows entrance into it. But I've got to believe that that place exists and that he wants me to go there. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter. Everybody say enter. Into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Verse 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. Everybody say, rest. There remaineth a rest to the people of God. I want to read that to you in the Amplified real quick, and then we're going to talk about this. God's promise of entering his rest still stands. So we ought to tremble with fear that some of you might fail to experience it. Whew. Those are harsh words. I should live in fear that I might miss the opportunity to enter into the rest of the Lord. Have you ever been around somebody who's just, they're just exhausted all the time? Just always tired. How many hours did you sleep last night? 11. Son, I got 5. I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Just always tired, just always worn out, just everything always. They're missing a dimension of rest that can only be entered into. Now, we talk a lot around here and we believe very strongly in the operation of grace. And the scripture talks about God giving us grace, God causing us to find favor. Did you know there's only one scripture that I can find? And I didn't do an exhaustive search. And this is stuff from 2 weeks ago. Brother Heiner's supposed to speak tonight. This is stuff from 2 weeks ago that when we begin to pray tonight, the Lord began to stir this in my spirit. And so I haven't by any means done an exhaustive search, but when I went looking for this idea of he gives grace, but he asks us to enter into rest. What? He goes around passing out grace freely. Here you go. You need some mercy? Here you go. You need some grace? Here you go. Have some favor. Oh, you want rest? Enter in. What's the difference? I did find a single time, and maybe there's more. If there's more, I'll find them, bring them to me, send them to me, text them to me. I found a place in the book of Matthew chapter 11 where he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary. heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. He's given rest. But then he doesn't stop. He says, I'll give you rest, Jared. So are you resting? Are you rested? Now take my yoke upon you. Get to work. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You see, when I enter into his rest, I get so busy doing my thing and doing all the things that I need to get done. There's a little great notebook in there on my desk that's full of things that need to get done, and every day there's something that doesn't get done. There's probably 35, 40 emails sitting in my inbox right now with red flags on them over the past 3 weeks that have not gotten taken care of. I can't get everything done, and I sometimes I begin to live under the weight of that. I know that some of you understand that. Some of you live in the same place. You have kids and a family and jobs and all these things and all these responsibilities and all these expectations, and it all weighs upon you, and you try to do it all. You try to get it all accomplished. You got to get this one to here and that one to there and this one to dance, this one to ballet and this one to soccer and this one to baseball and this one to swim and this one to volleyball and this one to football and this one to, and all and on and on and on and on and on. And we live under all this weight. And then we find, we're going to go on vacation. Nothing wrong with vacation. I enjoy them. I go on as many as I possibly can. But I don't go on vacation to get rest. Usually I need a vacation from the vacation. I'm so wore out by the time I get home. And take an extra day off. Get some rest. Vacation isn't for rest. But when I enter into his labor, when I am lockstep with the Lord, think about that for a moment. When I put his yoke upon me, when I enter into his yoke, and the Lord and I begin to walk together in the things that he asks of me, in the direction that he asks of me, boy, just there's something about sharing the load. Every now and then, my wife and I step back and we look at what each other has on our plate, and we say, okay, what can I take? Is there something you need me to do? And we begin to distribute the load. That's teamwork. And that's what God asks us to do. Would you enter into labor with me? Would you labor alongside me? It's a different dimension of rest. I had a coworker here a few months ago, just absolutely read me the riot act. No reason to. I'm not even sure what was going on. Somebody was asking me about my life and my schedule, and they knew about the church, and they knew about my family, and they knew about my involvements in extracurricular things with farming and all these things, and they just said, you know, you're crazy. There's no way you can do all that. It's just, you know what, you're going to kill yourself. And I looked at him and I thought, you don't even have a clue. You come to work for 7 or 8 hours a day, and you go home and you sit and you watch TV all night. Now, nothing against that. If you do that, that's between you and the Lord. You watch TV all night long. You don't do anything else. And you come to work the next morning and you are so wore out. You're wiping sleepy out of your eyes. And I come in, I worked all night. Then I stayed up with kids half the night. And then I show up to work and I got a bounce in my step, and you're like, there is something wrong with you. No, I've learned to enter into his rest. I try not to get myself involved in things that he's not asking me to get involved in. Boy, I've done the opposite. I've got involved with things that I wasn't supposed to be involved in, and it plumb wore me out. and I had no strength. I was weak. I was tired. I was grumpy. I had a bad attitude. No one wanted to be around me. I'm just kidding. Not really. You know what I'm talking about? The more tired and worn down we get, the grumpier we get. Yeah, I'm just not sleeping well. That's no excuse. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Let Him give you rest by you taking on His burden, His load. I know this is a complete oxymoron to us. Because literally rest to us is a beach or a good book or a quiet place. That's what rest is to us. But when I enter into His rest, I don't always know what it looks like. In my flesh, rest on a Wednesday night's being at home. When I enter into His rest is when I come into here and I'm tired and I may be physically weak and I don't have a lot of strength, but man, it's a few minutes in here and suddenly I start, man, I'm not going to run any marathons, but I'm not as tired as I was when I got home at 4:30. I've entered into His rest. Not mine, His. Let's finish reading this here. For this good news, verse 2, that God has prepared this rest has been announced to us just as it was to them. But it did them no good because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. For only we who believe can enter His rest. It's just this place of unbelief. The only reason we don't enter into His rest is because we don't believe that in some sort of His work, His labor, His kingdom, that we could find rest. As for the others, God said, in my anger I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest. That's a scary place to be in. That was all because of unbelief. They didn't believe that God could have a place of rest prepared for them. Think about this for a moment. We talk about the promised land, a land that flows with milk and honey, vineyards they didn't plant. And they got to go in and they got to experience that. Friend, you want to talk about rest? We go on vacation. What are we going to eat? I don't know. You choose. I don't know. Let's just get something back to the hotel. Where are we going to do that? I don't know. We'll get on Yelp, see if you can find something. I'm so tired and stressed out by the time we find some food. It's not rest. But imagine going and entering into a place of rest where everything was prepared for you. Creek of milk, Brother Chamberlain. Just dip your cup in from your easy chair. Whew. Out for a walk, and there's a vine with great grapes. I love grapes and Costco grapes that are about that big. I like those. Pluck a grape. That's rest. Do you know how much work it takes to create all of that? If you were to try to produce that in your flesh? Get yourself a milk fountain. Get yourself a plenteous honey and not have to deal with the honeybees and not have to worry about getting stung and deal with the hives and then all those vineyards and pruning them and getting them ready to produce. God said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. The only caveat is you've got to believe me and enter into it. And it's no different for us today. The only reason we don't enter into His rest is because we can't believe in our humanity that entering into His labor is entering into His rest. You mean I could pray in the Spirit and find rest and refreshing? I'd just rather sit here and zone out. For with stammering lips and another tongue would He speak to this people. And He said, this is the rest wherewith he would cause the weary to rest. That's entering into his rest. Verse 4 says, we know it is ready because of the place in scriptures where it mentions the seventh day. Listen to this. I got to go back and read this. He said, in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest, even though this rest has been ready since he made the world. We thought, Sister Lindsay, all these years we've lived thinking God was just tired after day six, so he took a rest. No, he was creating on day seven. According to the scripture, he created a place of rest. It's his rest. He said it's been prepared since the beginning. When he said, separate light from darkness, water from land, oceans and all that. Oh, and I'm not done yet. I'm going to create a place of rest. A dimension of rest that all of my people who believe can enter into. It's in the book. We know it is ready because of the place in scriptures where it mentions on the seventh day, where it mentions the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But in the other passage, God said, they will never enter my place of rest. So God's rest is there for people to enter, but those who first heard this good news failed to enter because they disobeyed God. So God set another time for entering his rest, and that time is today. God announced this through David much later in the words already quoted. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Now, if Joshua had succeeded in giving them this rest, God would not have spoken about another day of rest still to come. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest, in verse 10, have rested from their labors. Everybody say, my labors. They've rested from their labors. Just as God did after creating the world, so let us do our best to enter into that rest. I read a translation. It said, so let us labor to enter into his rest. Seriously? Let us labor to... Brother Tolbert, you got a lot of laborers on your job sites. Do they rest? No. This is so backwards to our flesh. Working to enter into his rest? Yeah, I've got to get through my unbelief. It's a lot of work sometimes. Doubting Thomas has got nothing on me. It's a lot of work sometimes. It's available to me. I want us to stand right now. I want us to lift our hands. I'm going to turn this to Brother Heiner, but I want you just to talk to the Lord. From your place of frailty, from your place of weakness. Father, you know the rest that I need. You know the dimension of rest that I need to enter into tonight.
Coming back here in a minute. Luke 24 and verse 49. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Remember, there are about 500 people gathered about him right now. And he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. but tarry. I'm sending power. I'm sending the promise that you've been waiting for. There's something coming, but before you're going to get it, I need you to do something. But tarry. If you look at that word tarry, it's translated almost every other time as to sit down, to set, to be set down. It's translated into tarry one time. There were 500 people that day that heard the voice of Jesus in his direction. But 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 that were able to tarry. The rest of them weren't able to do that. There's something that happened between that point 10 days prior. They saw the manifestation of God. If you read the next verse in verse 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. In verse 51, it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. They saw an amazing, glorious manifestation of God. They saw the miraculous happen before their eyes. They were instructed to do, and the next verse says they were excited about it. Verse 52, and they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Man, what a wonderful thing that God had just done before their very eyes. And they went to Jerusalem as they were instructed to, but three-quarters of them couldn't tarry. They couldn't wait long enough. So they weren't there when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Why is that so hard for us to do? Because we have to find a way. We have to make it happen. We teach to raise our hands because it's a sign of surrender. And it is. When we're trying to help someone to seek the Lord and seek the Holy Ghost, we try to help them and say, raise your hands and surrender yourself, yield your vessel, yield your mouth, yield your body. That's a sign of surrender. But that's not the extent of that. When my little boy stubs his toe or just starts feeling sorry for himself, he gets some tears going, and he might come up to me and stand there just like this. He doesn't have to say anything. He's positioning himself, he's posturing himself in a way that he needs to receive from his Father. He's placing himself in, yes, that could be surrender, I guess, but there's expectation. In that I need something from my Father. Whatever that is, whatever that love is, whatever that is, I need whatever you have for me. We need to pray one more time with expectation. Come on, why don't you raise your hands right now and say, Jesus, whatever it is that you have for me, God, I surrender to you, Jesus, with expectation. I need the touch of my Father tonight. I receive what you have for me right now, Jesus. I cast aside my labors right now, Jesus. Hila mataya, hikataya no loboshima, hila yeya taha, hiataye ondo shikataha. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. I receive your rest right now, Jesus. Hila tayo do shialabaha. I wait upon you, Jesus. I wait upon your spirit, Father. Kialoloboshikabasana. Yelataya. Yishokolamaya taha. Hikaya nolomoni sikaya. Ye mataya. Hiando landabashi yekata. Hilolo sikayata. I receive your strength, Jesus. I cast aside my cares, Jesus. I receive your strength. Hilamaye shokobahaya. Tila tayondo bosha. Hiando landissima. You care for me, Father. You care for me, Jesus. Hilando yeshikabaha. He kalala bahaso ye kashata hai. He lando ye sikata ha. He lando kola tabahai. He lalala mosi shikamanda. He lalala mando kola tahai. He masolo tolia tabahasha. Thank you, Jesus. Imando shokolana. Ilarara mokola tabahai. We tarry in your presence, Jesus. Hila talolobokola tahai. Yishatohola tahai imandaha. Hila lalamando ole tabashi. Ila la la makato ye la la mando. Ilararamato shikata basando. Ye la 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 mata ye shaka so la tabahaya. Ye lo lo robo shikata bahasa. La ye yo toho tahai. Ye ta lo lo robo shia tabahaya. Ye la tabashoko la tabahaya. Yila la tahaye yosi e shikana bahaya. Hia lo lo la rabanda hai. Hita ye yashato lo 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 bakata ha. Ye mahai. Ye lo si tahai. Yishando lo bokota bahaya. Imando la tabasaya. Hila lolo la mandasaye. Yitayata lolo boshikaha. Y calamando yesha. Hila nabatayo loko shikala bahasa. Hilando yeshimataha. Hila lalabahai. Hikatayo lo shima siatai. Hitalamakayo. Gila la la bahaye. Gila la mato ye shata bahaya. Ikala ye loto basiyaye. Yelanda yeshaka soto botaha. Yilabayoto shialabahai. Tilata yeshato. Tala la boye shikata hai. Yina lolo siha tabasha. Yina tayato shikala la baya. Talando yeshika na bahai. Ilando ye shata bahaya. Hila ye loto ye shikaha. Hila la mando shikayata haya. Yela mando shikata bahaya. In the name of Jesus, let the burden be lifted right now. In the name of Jesus, sikata ya lobo shataha. Tilama ye yata hai. Hila yondo shikata hai. Hila nobo shiata. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hila mashanda haya. Hila lolobo kolata haya. Hila ramando hoshiyanda bahaya. Ila la ramando kolatahai. Ye lando shikasatahai. To my knowledge, to date, there hasn't been one instance where my boy has done one of these and I didn't do anything to respond. There could be, but I doubt it. There's something about fatherhood that responds to their child or your child. And I wonder how often we downplay that importance in our lives with our Heavenly Father. How often we just walk on by and try to figure it out on ourselves. I'll figure it out. I'll get through this. I'll make a way. All we got to do is receive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You can hang out as long as you want.